I just wanted to kind of touch base and get your opinion on that, because I realize, you know, you made the statement tonight that, you know, this net has a totally different feel. And boy, you are right. I went up to Richmond, Virginia a couple months ago to help my cousin at the VA in Richmond, and I checked into a net there, and boy, you won't talk about just dry. Oh my goodness, I thought, man, I am. My cousin's a amateur operator too, and we were listening in, and we both just thought, man, this has got a, we're spoiled, you know. But the thing with me is that, you know, I kind of get that this repeater is kind of like a family net, you know. You want to be very cognizant of that and very respectful and this, that, and the other, and regarding that. And it, just like Gary says from time to time, if nobody tells me what my radio's doing, I'm not going to know. So I think, I know I certainly struggle with if I hear somebody doing something that I know is not right. I normally don't say anything because I don't feel like I'm experienced enough to say anything, and I feel like that might come across as being, you know, snooty or whatever. But, you know, I feel like I can trust that what you're telling me is, when Chad, you need to clean this up a little bit, or you need to do this a little different. And when nobody says anything, I think that it's, you know, okay. But I, you know, feel like I can trust it. You know, if you tell me, okay, well, Chad, you need to straighten this up, or you need to do this a little bit. You understand what I'm trying to say? It's just trying to be the most professional amateur I can be, if you understand what I'm trying to say.
Respond this way, KK4JBQ. Take for yourself the example of KI4DOS, Gary. When I was new on this net, Gary had been there already quite a while. And Donna and I were listening one night, and, you know, when you don't have this button pushed down, nobody can hear anything in the room. So we started talking about Gary. She did, actually. She started off the conversation. And she said, you know, he is such a gentleman. He makes me feel good. He makes me... I respect him already, and I have not met him. And this was unusual for her to say that. And the next time I had opportunity to talk, I said, Gary, you know, Donna just said something that I think you ought to hear. She said, that man is a real gentleman. Now, Gary, you know, he took that, as you might expect. He was grateful for the compliment. But that would be the individual I would hold out to you as an example. Not myself necessarily, no. But you will be who you are. If you want to pick two or three operators that show not just their operational skills, that's important, but that's, you can get that from a book. But you cannot get the other things that they convey. I would just suggest that one of them is being a gentleman. I think that's totally within you to do that. And if Gary is listening, I might have made him blush, but it's the truth. KK4JBQ.
Well, I tell you what, let's just get a running or a standing order here, and that is that if you see or hear a bad habit that is forming, please let me know, and do not hesitate, because I've got some pretty thick skin about most things, but that's one of them that, you know, I certainly want to be a part of this community, but I also understand I need to do that in a certain way. And going back to my conversation that I've mentioned many times, is that the frame of reference that I have is so different from this that I have to go from that frame of reference to unlearning, and then relearning. So, but on the other hand, too, I don't want to be just so dry that, you know, nobody wants to check in or participate, you know. I mean, we had 51 check-ins tonight. I don't necessarily think that had anything to do with me. I'm not saying that at all. That's typically what they run. But, you know, just want to make sure I'm doing what is appropriate. That's all I'm trying to say here. And I hope that you'll remind me of that if you see something that is not.
Before JBQ, what I think you've asked for is a stop check. I don't know where I got that phrase, but a stop check. And I will, you know, you've charged me with responsibility, and I will try to be responsible. On another point that you mentioned there, I think Gary, you know, his Wednesday night nets, you might say, well, he's got the swap net, and people are going to be listening there, just maybe they come just for that. Well, maybe there are a few, but you know, I've been around this net for 10 years now, and I can tell you that there are many people who are there because Gary is operating, and Wendy is another. When on Monday nights when she operates, it isn't just because she's female and she has a very nice voice, a pleasant voice, but people are there because Wendy has a very friendly net, and she comes up with things that makes her net unique. And if anybody else did it, well, maybe they're just copying something that's a good idea. But Wendy comes up with the good ideas. Let's see. Your nets are, I just think it was extraordinary. Not that you had 51 check-ins. The number's great. But you had many people who, when they checked in with you, they said how they were enjoying your net. I listened, and I heard four other comments besides my own. I want to be encouraging, and maybe they were too. But maybe it was just so, it just wells up inside of you. You've got to tell the net control, I'm really enjoying your net. I really think this is great, and I'll be here. If you're operating the net, I'm going to be sure to be here. Well, when you put it out there, you don't know who's listening. I mean, that could be, you know, whatever you've said, you don't know who's listening. But I count on other people hearing things when I say them on the radio. If I compliment, it's a sincere compliment. Now, don't misunderstand me. I don't just say it for effect. But I want other people to hear that I think you run a great net. So, if you're not, if you don't show up when Chad's, your net tonight was a surprise. But if you're scheduled at some point in the future, you'll find that people seek you out. You'll find that people want to be there, just like they want to be on Gary's net, and just like they want to be on Wendy's net. And there are other operators I could mention as well. I'm leaving other people out, I know. But there you are. KK4JBQ.
Understand very clearly where the lines are, but sometimes, you know, calling the net is, there's a little bit of stress to that, and I enjoy that. That's the portion of it that I enjoy, but sometimes just not knowing, you can't hear yourself. I mean, I can hear myself speaking with my mouth, but you get a little bit of stress in there, and you've got a schedule you need to stick to and a preamble and all that. Sometimes you just develop some habits, or, man, you know, you're too giddy, or you're laughing too much, or you're just not professional. That's kind of what, you know, just let me know, and I will not take that the wrong way. Trust me, I will get it corrected immediately. But if nobody tells me, then I don't know to do. So, you know, and I know I can trust you to do that. So we'll just leave a standing order there that, you know, just if you don't mind helping me with that, I would really appreciate it, because I do not want to be that guy, or unprofessional, or anything like that. You know, I want people to enjoy being here and enjoy the experience, and want to converse and want to, you know, have interaction and that, this, that, and the other. And you know, sometimes that's difficult when you have a topic that you don't know a whole lot about. And you're exactly right. Wendy is a master of that. You know, she somehow she is able to just, you know, one particular topic, one particular night, me and Anna was listening to her. She was calling the net. She was talking to John up in the Brown Summit, and he was talking about honeybee cluster, or honeycomb cluster, in astrology. And man, they just carried on a conversation for like 30 minutes, and I just felt like that, you know, I was, you know, an astronomer. Really. And, you know, Wendy's just, I mean, she's just good at that. And, you know, so I just think that's hilarious. But, geez. And don't forget now, one thing other two with Wendy is that when back in June or July, when they were trying to get the 100 check-ins, you know, don't forget now, Wendy got, I mean, she got 98 one night. I mean, me and Anna were, we were so disappointed. I mean, we were just like, come on, girl, you got it, you know. But, oh, man, 98 check-ins, and I could just hear the disappointment in her voice. But, I mean, we were a part of that conversation is what I'm trying to say. And I don't want to do anything that is off-putting to deconstruct that, if you understand what I'm saying.
I certainly do. And about the July effort, Wendy did not know Ray all that well. Many of us did. And yet, she's shown herself tall. Taller than the rest of us, really. Because she wanted to honor him. And she figured out a way to do it. And she took Annette within 1 month's time, and she had help, of course. But she took something, an honorarium, if you will. And she took that and honored a man and his efforts to put this repeater on the air back in the 50s. In a way that others of us, we didn't think to do that. That's really impressive. It engenders respect for another human being. And I like that. I like respecting other people. I like finding people that I can respect. It's not rare, maybe, but it's exceptional. KK4JBQ.
Oh, man, you, especially this day and time, yeah, it sure is. It really is. And, you know, I think that was another difficulty I had when I retired was that, you know, you're in uniform, you always carry yourself in a certain way, and you are always respectful to other people, and, you know, and I mean, that's all I knew, was exposed to that every single day. And when I retired, I just, oh man, boy, did I have a rude awakening, you know. There's times when I still struggle with it. Just, I cannot believe some of the stuff that, you know, just happens out on, you know, in town or this, that, and the other, you know. A couple months ago, I was at Walmart in Pickens, and went up to the deer camp and was, I had to go to Walmart and pick up some supplies, and there was a guy coming out of Walmart in a electric wheelchair, and this, you know, group of teenagers, you know, they got the parking lot marked off there, pedestrian zone, coming out of the Walmart, and I mean, it's like 30, 40 feet wide. I mean, it's clearly marked. But, you know, these teenagers come by in this little SUV-looking thing and just pull, I mean, right up on the guy and just lay down on the horn. And, I mean, this guy is in a wheelchair, for goodness sake. And, oh, Larry, I came unglued right there in the parking lot. I just lost all my composure. Not with the guy in the wheelchair, of course, but the, you know, what a lack of respect. How in the world does somebody do something like that and think it's funny? Well, they didn't think it was too funny when I got through with them, because I'm afraid I embarrassed myself in that parking lot, but I let them have it. I mean, let them have it.
What's the guy?
What's the guy? Boy, Andy, we sure are glad to hear you in here. Here we go, Larry.
Well, I've been listening, I guess it's about 11:45, 12 o'clock or something, but I couldn't speak to any of that. I'm not hit, so to speak. But I heard Larry say something, just a transmission to the back that he's a little wrong on. The Briars Club come in existence in 1959, but the repeater here didn't go on air till 1973.
We're right. You're absolutely right, Andy. The repeater came later. I have sat work for hours having one cup of coffee after another with Ray, and he schooled me right well on the history of the repeater. But he also was there in the beginning. He was a forming member of the club going back to the 50s. So I guess that's what I was referring to. I may not have made myself clear. It's not necessarily connected to the repeater as such. It's connected to Ray's involvement in amateur radio and the forming of the club itself in the 50s. So I'm sorry I didn't make it clear. And I appreciate your taking me to task and making that clear to anybody else that might have misunderstood what I said. And it is good to hear you, Andy. As I've said many times, you never know who might be listening and what, you know, Chad, your concern is welcomed because it shows your respect for what not just other hams will hear, but family members who are not hams, children who will not maybe desire to get into the hobby, but they hear adults talking, and just to be respectful on the air is, I think it's necessary. It's required. And some people don't think so. Andy, you know as well as I do that some people are disrespectful on the air. Some people are more than that. They're just filthy-mouthed on the air. And that doesn't fly here. And sometimes, Chad, you and I will, Andy already knows, but sometimes you and I will talk about what measures are taken if we want to find someone that is transmitting when they shouldn't, or transmitting especially if they're transmitting with filth in their mouth. So there's remedy for that. But anyhow, it's the evening getting long in the tooth, and I want to give both of you an opportunity to sign with me. I still feel like I have a breath or two left, but I want to give you an opportunity to shorten this up if you feel you need to. KK4JBQ.
KK4JBQ, KI4LZI, and KO4NUE. So, yeah, well, there is, if you go to the Broad's website, there's a link you can click on that has got the written history of the repeater. I've read it. There's some actual, there's a document in there that shows, I think, maybe one of the first minutes that was recorded by the secretary, whoever that was. I can't remember all the information, but anybody that wants to know, that information is there on that link. You can go and check it and see what's, you know, the history of the repeater or this, that, and the other. But It is a very interesting net, because I've checked into quite a few. I mean, I don't have 40 years of checking in different nets, but There are none that I've seen that are quite like this at all. You know, it's very welcoming, and, you know, me and my wife, when we got our license and I moved my radio was initially down in the shop. So I noticed that I wasn't getting any work done, and I was talking on the radio a lot during the day. So when my daughter moved out, I moved it up here in the house. And it's probably a little better environment for the radio anyway, but we learned real quick that, hey, this is pretty entertaining, not in a jovial kind of way, but, you know, hey, who's checking in, what's going on in the area, and, you know, sometimes when, especially Gary, I mean, Gary's really good at it, Walt's good at it too, when, you know, they're explaining something or telling a story or talking about their day or this, that, and the other, I mean, I've got a choice. We've got a choice to make. We can spend 30 minutes or 45 minutes listening to garbage on TV, or we can spend 45 minutes walking with Gary in his day, or with Walt in his day, and just be mindful and respectful of that. And, you know, we learn real quick that we choose to do the latter, because, you know, everybody is respectful, and I'm not sure how we got here, but I think, Andy, the initial question I had was, I'm new at this, and I'm just trying to make sure that I don't have any bad habits that nobody's telling me about, and Larry was explaining to me, you know, all of that. But that's kind of how we got here. So, go ahead and pick it up, Andy.
Boy, LZI, well, we've heard what Ray, well, I don't know you, but I know Larry had. Most of us heard, and I got in on the real early part of it, Christmas of 1976. See, 74, 75, 76. It was about close to 4 years after the repeater went on air that I started, got a receiver that would monitor this frequency. And from then on, I monitored on and off a lot. And you're always talking about how the military communications are. That's kind of like the way the Mars program is. That kind of has some ham radio operators intermixed in there. Now, over there in the Mars program, you don't talk, speak, or say any more than what you have to. Because I know one guy up here near me up here that was in it for, I don't know how many decades, was a member of our group out there, Pickens. And you identify every time you key down. I mean, you say just the bare minimum when you're operating on Mars frequency, which is usually on either side of the 80-meter band, you'll find it, somewhere there along there. But here, in just general normal times, if you want to rat you, it's fine to rat you. Now, like in a case like where you run into that, about the hurricane watch now, I got to admit, I don't have as much experience on HF as I do here probably on 2 meters, so I don't know all their protocols. But in general, they taking, it's nothing but anything involved with what's going on with what the subject is about, the wherever the hurricane is and so on and so forth about that. You got some nets that's, you know, you better operate very efficiently and properly. But there's other nets. It's fine for you to write you what you want. KI4LZI.
KBQ. Andy, you're right, and I think the point that you're making, something that as a new operator Chad should be made aware of, is that all over amateur radio, everything is different. Count on it. Especially on HF, there are religious nets, and there are nets that only medical people take part in. Well, it's just very different all over. And it's that way with 2 meters to some extent. There are nets that are pretty strict, and some are a blend. They're much like, they're very casual. And no one's going to think any differently, I should hope, if they find a net that's run a little different than the net that you're accustomed to. It's made up of people, after all. And we are all, thankfully, we are all different. And we can be known, I think, as characters. Chad, you're a character. Andy, you're a character. And I guess I'm a character, too. So just go where you're comfortable and operate. You know, when in Rome, do as the Romans do, I suppose, if you're comfortable with that. There's some places that I wouldn't be comfortable, and so I don't go there. It's like, you know, business places. There's some places I would go and some places I'm not comfortable there. What else was I going to say? On HF in particular, there are places, I think Andy was suggesting that, it's a place that your operations are pretty much going to be in tune with what's already going on there. So you should listen first and get some indicator about how people are conducting themselves. And then just fit in with them, you know. There are some places on the band that you'll have digital modes, and if you know how that squeaking and squawking sounds like, to go on there with voice is not appropriate, and you won't get any response whatsoever. And, you know, it's just that way all over. KK4JBQ.
What? KI4LZI. I remember, when was that happened down there? It was after Trump come in office. Was it 2017 or 18-1 when that hurricane hit Puerto Rico down there and hit them pretty hard? Here on the HF frequencies they had, I know, you know, I don't have no effect what transmit, but if you put up any little thing, you know, you can receive a little sign. I heard the Saturn nets going on down there, which is the Salvation Army nets that was going on down there for that. It was going on in Puerto Rico. You know, that was going on, and at some point or another, when that hit, you know, the Salvation, it's been a while back now, I have to think, but there was the Hurricane West that was involved in that when it initially happened. And back in 05, just prior to me getting my tech license, I had a receiver here that would receive sideband at that time, too. All the communications coming from that to happen down in New Orleans in 05, there was quite a bit of traffic nets going on 40 meters back at that time. As you say, if you listen a little bit, you can tell whether it's a serious net or disaster type, that is not, as you say, just by monitoring. You can pick up on that just from that. Or whether it's just a routine type net where, you know, you can rag to or do anything. It's all about monitoring to start with. KI4LZI.
You're right, Andy. And I probably need to do a little bit more of that sometimes. I'm a little bit impatient. And I mean, I haven't had any issues. You know, I know I've learned that I need to figure out when the net is and, you know, be there a little bit early. If you're, you know, if you're 10 minutes early, then you're on time. If you're on time, you're late. And if you're 5 minutes after, you're really late. So I have always heard to listen before you do anything. And me and my wife were talking about you the other night, Andy. In that you're always telling everybody, you know, how long you've listened and how long you've monitored. And there's no way I could monitor as long as you have over the years. I just, you know, I had to get my license and jump right in there. And when I got my radio, it took me a couple of days to figure out how to program it. And I could hear people. It was 2 meter. It was 2 meter radio. I could hear people, but every time I'd key the mic, I couldn't talk. Nobody would answer me. Well, it took me a while to figure out, okay, well, I need to put a PL tone on there. And so I just had put a PL tone on something. I don't think it was this repeater. I think it was Mount Mitchell. And somehow or another, instead of talking on Mount Mitchell, I came down to this repeater, and first thing out of my mouth was CQ, CQ, CQ. Dave and Steve were talking, and oh man, you know, Steve corrected me real quick, you know, but I mean, he was polite about it. He wasn't, you know, hateful or anything, but he just, you know, he was funny, but I didn't care. I didn't care. I had been forced to monitor for 3 days because I could not figure out how to make the radio transmit. And when I finally figured it out, and the first thing out of my mouth was CQ, and then the second thing I heard was somebody correcting me. Not really getting off to a good start, but I didn't care. I was happy that I'm able to talk to somebody. I couldn't believe it.
LCI, to understand, most of these years I've been monitoring, I didn't have a license. I didn't even have a transceiver till December of 05, and the silent key that the state's been sold today and yesterday was the one that gave me my first 2 meter transceiver. I still got it around here, but it's very limited. Has no tone board and it's crystal control, but it's got crystals in it for this repeater, the 8-2, and the 7-9 machine. And that transceiver was probably, I'm guessing, dated back to the early 80s. But AK down there, who's now Silent Key, M and W4TWX, I used to see them a lot at the flea market. They give me all the update information that I wasn't aware of to help me get my license. But I'd been monitoring here since I got that first receiver in Christmas of 76, and this was repeated, as is now still, that I get the best here, and I picked it up. And what we're talking about, I heard your cousin talking to Jack on 800 earlier today, too, talking about working DX on 20 meters.
No doubt that, Andy, you have established yourself as somewhat of a historian. You've been listening and participating for a number of years, certainly before I arrived on the scene. But also, you have a talent to remember call signs and names. And everybody's marveled at that. I mean, I don't have that ability. But and we kind of count on you from time to time. I know you've noticed this too, that people will ask you, do you remember such and such? Do you remember the last time you heard such and such? You know, and so. Well, it's good for all of us to have someone like you to keep the history for us. It's one thing that I do remember. I was astonished when I served on the board for the club that owns this repeater. I was astonished that there was no official historian. Andy is the closest we come to, and that's. But I'm talking about somebody that collects the documents that the club generates, that keeps historically important documents. I'm not talking about the minutes of all the meetings or anything like that. No, but things that are historically important. There's no historian. And so the recording that's on the Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Society net, or on the website, that recording, there is an audio recording there of Ray Allison doing an oral history of this repeater. It's a great thing to have. I have a copy of it myself. I recorded live off the net when he gave it one time. He gave it maybe three or four times while I've been a member of the net. But I'm talking about something that is the property of the net and stays with it forever and ever. It'd be nice to have something like that. But Andy does his best. One day you won't be with us, Andy. And all you know will have disappeared at the same time. I don't want to think that's no news to you, I know, but to have a history, a written history, would be a mighty fine thing. KK4JBQ.
Well, see, that's what, you know, I don't understand about it, you know. The South Carolina single sideband that has a historian. And that particular sideband that started back in 1957, in the very early days of single sideband, it did. And they got a historian for such documents like I give you, Larry, that dated back to the early 80s about some of the club activities. I wish there was something like that. Out of all the decades of monitoring, that was something I didn't ever know about. I missed that dearly. Go ahead, NUE. I don't know why it's because it's early morning. I guess. Pick it up.
KL4NUE, KK4JBQ, KI4LZI. So, Larry and Andy, I'm afraid y'all have talked me clear out of my call sign tonight. I'm showing my tired. So I was hoping that I could absolutely burn up two sets of batteries on your HT tonight, Larry. But you have been you've done a really good job of preserving your electrical energy in the handies. So I'm going to step on out, fellas. I'm tired, and I'm going to try to get a little bit more enjoyment out of the sun tomorrow. And I need to get my dad to go get some supplies in town while I'm on quarantine. And I'm going to try to figure out some way to make a much better assessment of what's going on with my mother-in-law tomorrow without actually going into where she's staying.
I'm having to rely on what Anna's telling me, and which is, you know, I'm sure is accurate, but I need to figure out some way to get eyes and ears for myself to see if she's missed something. I doubt it, but I just, you know, want to make sure. But at any rate, I'm gonna say 7-3s to both y'all. I swear I hate to end it for me, but I'm tired. I'm having to focus on trying to make my mouth move. So 7-3s, Andy, and 7-3s to you, Larry. I've thoroughly enjoyed the conversation, and both of y'all are very blessed people, and I appreciate, you know, sharing and listening to you too. I mean, y'all are just wonderful people, and I appreciate that. So this is KO4NUE, and I will be clear on y'all's final.
Well, it's appropriate. It's a good time to break it up tonight. Andy, thank you for joining us. But here we are. It's coming up on 2 a.m. I think I'll put it down as well. And my battery is just about to run out. I don't want it to put me off the air before I'm ready to go, but I'm ready to go now. KO4NUE, KK4JBQ, and KI4LZI. Let's all have a good night's rest. 7-3.
You was talking about a few nights ago about getting into those Clemson repeaters. I bet from up at Liberty at the deer camp you might be able to get into one of those. You try that 2-meter repeater or that 440 machine from out there at Liberty with a halfway decent antenna, you might probably get into those Clemson repeaters from there. If I didn't have so many hills between here and Clemson where I'm at, I could probably get into it, but it's like Jack's repeaters. I can get just enough signal to know that they're on the air, and that's it. KI4LZI.
That is gone, Andy, and I'll be gone too. I'll be clear with you. Get yourself some good rest. KK4JBQ.
Okay, well, he'll find out at some point. KI4LZI.